Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil. And we're here today to continue our conversation on is the afterlife location. And we're going to get more into the relationships or energies that we connect with when we are transcended, when we have transcended the planet. And probably we'll talk a little bit about what happens also when we're not in the physical body, but are going to be returning to the physical body. So the difference is there. First, I'd like to invite everybody that is listening or in the queue to follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can do so by clicking on the follow button under the profile name, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. You may join us on Facebook and on Twitter. And we really appreciate it if you do that. For further conversation, 562-596-7818. And the call-in number today is 914-338-0164. So, Neil, to recap.
Well, to recap, we're talking about the idea of location in the spiritual realm is a hard thing to really define because we're talking about the body leaving. We leave the body, we're in an energy field, and to specify it as a location when we're transcending a location as it is in terms of the earth plane, it's hard to say. Some people think that the afterlife is filled with some kind of beautiful paradise. There's going to be trees, and some kind of Eden. It's not exactly that at all. I think that the soul can... the spirit and the soul, via the soul, can travel to different elements and realms where there are such environments, whether they're on another planet or whether they're in the astral realm of our own planet. But we were explaining before something a lot more difficult to comprehend, and that is that it's an element of energy that one goes into. And in that element of energy, we define it as light. But light is also awareness. And to be in total awareness is not so much a visual experience as an inner experience. It's something that erupts within the spirit and the soul. So it's something we can't quite comprehend. But imagine when we start to meditate, when we go into our internal state, we typically what we do is we close our eyes and we get in touch with our inner self. Now magnify that by a billion or more and try to experience what it might be to be in an element of awareness. Awareness
beyond the physical
so
body
much.
Because we're still stuck in the physical body when we're meditating. So there, I mean, that gives us probably a small glimpse of what it might be like.
Yeah. I mean, we tend to think that when we die, we're going to go through the pearly gates. We're going to be in a world where, you know, the beautiful lawns and trees and people trimming them or whatever.
I hope there's a good gardener up there.
Yeah. Well, it isn't exactly what it moves more. I've experienced that it moves more into a state of awareness, which is hard to describe. People who have crossed over will say that they go to the light and that they see people, they feel this strong elation. Sometimes there can be an extraordinary sense of visual energy where things can be beautiful and all that kind of stuff. We got to remember when a person's in that realm and they move into an outer body experience, they're still ultimately connected to their body through the silver cord. If that silver cord is broken, you're not coming back. But you can actually go out and travel to other locations, but you're still attached, what is called the silver cord, to the body, your physical body. So your soul doesn't really actually transcend in entirety when we have these earthly experiences that merge into the spiritual realm. We're not really in a pure sense in the spiritual dimension. We're still attached to the body. So we perceive things through the senses of the body as well, because the body is still receiving what the spirit is venturing out and looking at.
Right.
So the sleeping body, whatever it may be, the body that's in meditation, is still receiving elements of the astral realm, the spiritual realm, into a concept that it can assemble into some kind of order or logic. And that's why we get these energies and these experiences that when we travel to the other side, we're going to a location. But there is no specific, in my estimation, there is no specific location. You're omnipresent, you're omniscient, you're in an element of energy that, again, is hard to describe, but so be it. Now, I was, you know, just talking to a client about contacting someone who had crossed over, and the idea was that this person is visiting them in their home, and that they sometimes smell and hear and feel things, their cat, their dog, you know, everybody's acting crazy whenever this spiritual energy enters them. Now, in that regard, where is this spirit? Is he hanging out in the living room and sitting in the chair where you don't see him? Where do spirits exist when they're still somewhat tied to the earth plane?
I mean, they visit the earth plane, but do they always exist in the earth plane?
Well, visiting, it reminds me of a visit to a small planet. It's a Gorbadal. You don't really visit. I mean, you can have visitation, but a lot of times spirits that are occupying the earth plane are between elements. They're caught between worlds. They're more or less in that popular phrase of parallel universe, and they're beside our universe and yet can see our world.
But in this case, was this a spirit that was stuck between worlds?
Well, in this case, it was a spirit that not completed the totality of its earthly existence. So there is still something in the spirit's element that is attached to the earth because the lifetime on the earth plane was not completed. So a lot of times when people cross over and their lifetimes aren't completed, they will stay close to the earth, trying to lessen as much karma or energy as they can to either one, transcend, or
try to resolve karma before they re-enter the earth, so it's not as dramatic when they return.
Dramatic. Uh-huh. And that can be very difficult because you're outside of the body and you've lost your true identity in terms of that incarnation. So it's not as easy. But where do they live? They live in a realm of, well, in that regard, they're more in a location. That's more of a location. It's between the earth plane and some afterlife etheric realm where elements can exist and survive, but it's not transcending. I mean, we can travel high into the air and see birds flying and capture certain wildlife that only lives at high altitudes, but that doesn't mean we're going to see the same animals in the outer space. So when you go to a higher realm, so to speak, above the earth, you can get to a plane where there are, which is inhabited by
entities, various entities, and has a certain descriptive location, but it still is shy of the highest plane that is devoid of location.
So that brings me to the next topic, and we discussed this at the beginning of the show and a little bit on the last show, Neil, but when a soul moves into the afterlife and they're not returning to the planet, what is the interaction with other souls that have transcended, with higher spirit entities like angels or guides? Obviously, you know, it's not like a social party when we get up there, but there has to be some kind of exchange on an energetic level, well, especially if we're trying to move higher into the spirit realm, because when we transcend, many people think, you know, we've made it and that's it. But in actuality, the soul realm is not the spirit realm. So the goal is to get higher and higher into an energy where it's like, you completely lose any identity or individuality in that spirit realm.
Well, for one part, there's no longer the body to block the communication. So we don't have the faculties of the body to depend upon. The soul is now in a different constitution. So therefore, the higher elements have an easier access to the entity itself. So you're communicating not body to entity to angel, but soul, specifically soul to angel, or whatever that entity may be that you're seeking that's on a higher plane. Mm-hmm. So there's an easier element there. You've stripped yourself a lot of the energies. It's almost like saying, well, a caterpillar can't fly, but when it, through metamorphosis, when it turns into a butterfly, it can fly, and yet it's still somewhat the same creature. It's gone through a major transition. Well, that's the difference between the body and the soul in the crude analogy. When you are rid of you can more or less fly. And when you're flying, in this crude analogy, you're in a different shape of energy. You don't even have mass and form so much as you do energy. And so that soul energy has a better way to connect to spirit form.
Right. Now, does that soul that's transcended, we talked about this, like I said, a little bit on the last show and throughout our tenure here on the radio, when a soul transcends, is that soul interacting with people or souls that they encountered? I'm saying people, souls that they encountered on the planet. I mean, when does that occur and when does it not? Do soulmates stay connected in the afterlife? We know that twin souls do. That's an exception. Do karmic mates stay connected in the afterlife? I mean, by nature of karma, you would think no. If you're connected to people simply by karma, that's going to be those ties are going to be broken once.
Well, you got to remember, soulmates is basically a premise that's built on the past. Your soulmates, meaning that you're not your soulmates based on a past life energy.
Well, it's also, but isn't it about an encounter outside of the body? If it's a soulmate connection,
yes.
It's on in the soul realm.
But when you leave the body and you transcend, find the...
So the soulmate connection is based more on a karmic connection where there is a connection in the astral, but then once you transcend, it's probably a transcended connection.
You redefine the whole energy field. So people who transcend together or relatively close together, and time is relatively short.
Like people that die, for instance, like within days of each other, and they've been together like 50 years, that type of thing.
Not only that, but even if they're years apart, that's nothing outside of time.
Right.
I mean, that's just a drop in the bucket, not even that much. So souls can reunite on the astral plane after physicality is ceased. And they can move forward to that energy and go onward from there. But there's just not a clear way of saying that soulmates are always going to be soulmates throughout
all their
incarnations and transformations. It just doesn't work that way. And you got to remember, too, you're not when you're in the soul plane, you're not sharing a bed anymore. You're not brushing your teeth together. You're not going out to eat. You're not going to a movie. You're not hanging out. You're not laughing together and having a good time. You're not in that element. We are grossly mistaken. We have grossly misconstrued what the other side is. You're not hanging out anymore. You're in a spiritual realm. So to say what is the union of energy on that realm is nothing that can be compared to on the planet. The planet is the planet. The heavenly spheres, the celestial spheres, have a whole different dynamic going on, if you want to call it that. And so therefore, to say that you're going to be joined in the union of spirit on the other side is correct to some extent, but not under the definition that we typically assign to it.
Now, what about twin soul connections in that regard? That's a different situation?
Well, the union of a twin soul connection in terms of fusing...
They do go to restaurants together in the afterlife. They brush their teeth together and they sleep and they watch TV.
Yeah, only Hollywood stars get to do this. the element of that oneness... You got to remember that this is about spirituality merging into
right,
one
soul.
Right.
So it's, I mean, like with twin souls, it's twin souls. If we're talking about twin souls from an astral connection, which is fairly rare, a lot of people want to become twin souls and they want to, you know, they didn't descend from the astral realm together, but they're trying to rejoin on the planet and ascend and be reborn in the astral realm. But in the case of twin souls that originate in the astral realm and come down, the idea would be that there was a malfunction in the soul split, they came down, and then rejoining in that union of soul energy and then ascending higher and higher into the spirit realm is the goal.
Yeah, because you're basically talking about an assemblage of one. You know, I am one with the Father. Two shall become one. You're getting into now the true celestial spiritual meaning of what oneness is. So when two souls become one soul, not two bodies becoming one body, so to speak, but two souls becoming one soul and merging into, you're now getting to the idea of what oneness is all about, perfection. So when you're merging the energies together, you're not merging personalities together. You're not merging likes and dislikes together. It's not that at all. You're merging the spiritual bodies together. And that has a whole different collection of breath than anything that would be equatable to something that we might imagine as being a one on the earth. It's not the same thing. So you're merging your spirits together and becoming one spirit. But now try to imagine spirit void of body, void of senses, voids of likes and dislikes, hang-ups, personalities, even earthly experience. Your earthly experience is gone.
Right, void of creativity, which is a really interesting concept. There's no creativity on an individual basis when you're on the other side. That's really, you know, we're so based on our own creations and egos, not in a bad way necessarily, but it's just a part of being a human being, and that just doesn't exist when you're...
No, I mean, you know, we love to romanticize the afterlife. You know, oh, Prince is up there doing music now. Oh, he's so...
Right, there,
you know,
he's singing with the angels, which is...
Singing with the angels.
I don't think that's even...
And it's still hard to get tickets
happen.
To his concert. No, you're not... Your creativity is a wonderful experience for our planet. But we don't bring our creativity on an earthly level to the higher spheres. Creativity is, everything's redefined. Everything comes from a spiritual basis, not an earthly or an ego basis. However miraculous that may be and entertaining it may be, we're not doing the same thing. I doubt, folks, if you're going to be going up there and listening to music, going to concerts, or going to great museums and seeing paintings, it is not. That is not what I've experienced in the brief interactions I've had with the other side and what I've heard is going on up there and what I've seen.
We're going to take some callers in just a minute, but I had one more question because I know that, you know, we've talked about certain what happens when you die and you're trying to rid yourself of the karma of the earth. and the family connections that we have, because many times spirits will come into readings, right?
Yeah.
And communicate. But if a spirit is trying to transcend, or a soul rather, a soul is trying to transcend, won't that soul want to divorce themselves from those connections that they had on the planet to get further away from
the
Earth?
Idea of how you release
and
yourself.
Why do they come into readings then? I mean, are they resolving karma, the
no,
souls
sometimes
that come in?
You know, that's the whole idea of transcending karma. We don't have to be held captive by people on the Earth when we transcend and move to the other plane, unless we elect by vibration to return and interact or communicate. But we're not forever locked in time with our loved ones, with our ancestors, with our families. The individuality, oh, it's not even the individuality, but we're using these terms just for the framework of discussion. The uniqueness of being in the spirit realm is no longer really tied to earthly associations. And this is what we tend to forget. On the other hand, the idea of this absolute union of one on such a strong significance of energy, forms of existence are in one pattern, more or less the individual energies. It's not like you die and over here are the Joneses and over there and they're, you know, and they have their little grouping and the grandfather comes by and the great grandfather, and we just are repeating the Earth existence again. This is not what it's about.
Right. And there's a lot of, sorry to interrupt, we got to get to our calls, but, you know, there are a lot of psychics that talk about this replication of the Earth in the plane, and it's just ridiculous. You have to really listen to the psychics that are accurate. The psychics that are accurate when they're giving readings and they're not doing, you know, generalizations, and then listen to what they say about what occurs up there, because they have the real insight.
God
in
invented
regard.
Death, and he invented death for a reason, because he thought if you guys had to have to stay down there forever, this is going to be torture. So he put there for a reason, so we can get back into the spirit form and transcend the pros and cons of what earthly existence is all about.
Okay, let's get to callers. 845 is first, 916, and then 951. 404, press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. They've been listening to our shows, but we haven't spoken with 404 yet. So maybe someday soon. 845, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's that?
You're talking about the spirit in the spirit world, the dead people.
Yes.
I would like to communicate with my brothers. They passed.
Okay. All right. And what was your name?
Lucy?
Lucy, yeah. 10-16-62, right? 6, 7, 8.
Yes.
Yes, I remember you. Hi, welcome back.
Well, I was thinking about you too. Yes.
Oh, really? Well, that's nice.
Yes. Yes,
good.
I remember that day that you told me about my boss and my job. I still have it.
Oh, good,
and
good, good. Kinda,
yeah.
Okay, well, you want to talk to the brother. Do you have a birthday for your brother? That might be a good...
My brother, one of them, the one that died 4 years ago, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. Is the birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He was born December 4th, and he was... he's 6 years younger than me. 5 years?
Six.
7 years younger than me. He's like
7 years. So he would be born in 1969?
You know, I was born in 62.
No, no, your brother. If he's 7 years, you're 62, so he would be born, if he's 7 years younger, 69. Is that right?
Younger? 69. Yeah, I think even younger than that. Yeah, he was 44.
He was 44. When did he die?
He died in December 4, 4 years ago, 2012.
And he died on his birthday, did you say?
He died 1 month before his birthday, November 2nd, but he was buried November 4th.
So how old was he when he died? Was he 44 when he died?
Yes, he was 44.
2012 minus 45. He would have been I'm not sure.
He was 44.
We don't know how old he was.
He was either born 68 or 60.
60. I'm getting 67 or 68. But anyway, okay, this is... We've got to go on with the connection here. So we're a little unclear on his hair, but that's okay.
But that's okay. Your brother is... First of all, your brother's talking about something about a potted plant. Do you have currently any potted plants in your home?
Yes, I do.
Well, he's showing me this potted plant, and he's telling me, like, he's an insect almost. I'm over there. I'm over near the potted plants. So for some reason, his spirit, the location of his spirit is near where those potted plants are in your home. Apparently his essence is in your environment. So there's a calling upon, you're calling upon his spirit. His spirit is giving me a location as to where he is strategically in your home. And he's talking about this element. He's also talking about a very rich red color. Now, red color, I don't know if you have any red in your vicinity, if there's anything predominantly red in color, like a blanket, a furniture, a shawl, or anything that's red in color.
Red in color. Yeah. It's not really red, but has some red.
Yeah, where is that?
I had an abundance altar, and then it's a golden peak with the red lettering, Chinese lettering, red lettering, and red ears.
Okay. So, yeah, he's there right now. So immediately the first discussion is much love and attention to detail. And what that means is that love and attention to detail, Lucy, is that He loves the minutes with you, the minutes of life, the minutes of breath. So there's a very strong love connection in terms of detail. And when the spirit tells me detail, that means that every minute he cherished. So there's a very strong cherishing energy. He cherished you. There was something that he cherished. Now, in spite of the fact that there was trouble, I believe there was trouble in sickness, and not an easy passage to the other side, that part's over with. So even though there was trouble in his soul, in his spirit, the release of it was a peaceful release. So he said it was very much like drifting on water, very, but a nice, like when you're in the pool and you kick off from the side and you start gliding on your back through the water. He said there was a nice gliding of water, almost like he was in bed and his soul just left the bed and slipped backwards. Do you know where he was when he crossed over? Was he in bed? Was he in a home?
No, he was. He was an engineer, and he was quoting. He was called to fly to a different city.
Yeah.
And then when he got there, some of his clients picking up, three people picking up, and then drove him to the place and killed him. And nobody knew what clients were, nothing. That was an assassination.
So, wait a minute, he was killed, he was murdered?
He was murdered, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
the
element of, you see, okay, let's go back for a second, because he's telling me there was turmoil in his life and he passed. There was turmoil, but then he was released from the turmoil. So whatever this murder was, we've got to redefine this, because whatever this murder was, because turmoil at the beginning. So whatever this murder was that took him, Lucy, it released him to me a realm of gliding. So there was something smooth about the energy. Now that doesn't mean to say that before the passage there was turmoil, because obviously there was. But now we have to define, is this soul in turmoil as we speak? I don't believe the soul's in turmoil as we speak, but I will say, and I'll stick to this, that when a person is murdered, well, that that provides some problems. Now, the other part of this is
karmic.
The
what do you mean?
Yeah.
It's a karmic problem.
Well, if you're murdered, yeah, there's a problem there. There's a problem there. Now, the red that I'm seeing, that could possibly be the blood, the energy of blood. So was he shot? Was he killed? How was he?
He was shot in the back while he was walking, because he was an engineer. He used to do environmental engineering. Then he used to go and see the field to see, to approve the field or not.
Well, the energy there, Lucy, we're talking about red, and red is still the color of blood. So there's a possibility, because this is a radio reading, and we're not under the best circumstances for a reading. But the red energy could result in the blood form of energy that resulted, because he was showing me this bright color of red. You were alluding to something red in your environment, but this could also encompass that red zone. The only thing that's peculiar here that alerts my curiosity is the fact that he had peace. I don't usually encounter spirits that have been murdered that are in peace, but he's talking about...
Yeah, he was
about,
in peace. Yes.
Oh, well, how do you explain that?
Because, see, I explained that because he was for 2 years and a half or 3 years pleading his wife to release him from his marriage. And his wife didn't want to, because he was an engineer. He was making good money and she wanted the money.
So you're saying that he was being released from the marriage was somewhat of a peaceful element.
Yes. Uh-huh. And the wife used to make him suffer with the son, because they have a son together. And then she didn't allow the son to talk to him and caused him to be mean to him too. Then it was a double whammy there, because he used to suffer and cry because he never could communicate with his son, because his wife was in
against him. It's unusual though that with the conflict that he was having in his personal life and then leaving by a result of murder, that he would be communicating this level of peace there, because a lot of times when they leave in conflict, then there's going to be more difficulty.
There might be more difficulty, but if this murder released him from the immediate consequence, the immediate environment that he was in that had turmoil, he might be experiencing some sense of peace there and redesigning his karma and instructing a different element of existence in the future for himself. So that might be part of it. But nonetheless, he seems to have been very close to you, and he cherished every moment that he had with you. Relationship with your brother?
Yes, he really lost me a lot. Yes, exactly. My other brother too. He was killed too. My other brother was killed too. We were very close. I was very close to both of them. My oldest brother used to be very psychic many years ago, but then when you say psychic, people used to treat it like crazy.
Mm.
And he could see things, spirits. He used to see people, what is going to happen to people. He was so frightening. He was very smart. And my youngest brother, that was the engineer, we used to be very close because he was very happy. And then he used to tell me that I was too serious, that I was born old, very old, that I wasn't ready for fun in life. Then we were very close too. I was close with the first one because he was similar to me, very smart, and I was closest to my youngest brother because we were the two youngest ones.
Well,
and I used to be the one that makes the money and give him money to go and party. I bought a motorcycle, and I used to let him make motorcycle. Then we were very close for that.
Well, you know, it that's great. Well, there is a connection, and he does seem to be in your environment.
the blood might be related to a little bit of his death zone, but you know, it probably commands more serious
time
dialogue,
than a radio
but we
show.
Don't have time for that today, Lucy, but at least we got to start going on this.
Yeah, Lucy, it definitely is something you may want to explore. You can call 562-596-7818 if you'd like to talk about it further. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, and get together the days, because I don't really know the days when he. I know the day and the month he was born, but I don't really know the year. I know he was like 7 years younger than me.
Yeah. Having the birth dates definitely helps. But we're sorry. We're really sorry about
the
tragedy.
So
it sounds like both brothers were killed. That's terrible.
Yeah, my two brothers too. Yeah, two
so
brothers
sorry.
Down.
Oh,
thank
hey,
you
Lucy.
So much.
We'll take care.
Thank
okay.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to say before
no,
we go on
we
to another
caller?
Yeah. 916. Hello.
Hello. Hello, this is Nancy.
Okay.
Yeah,
hi, Nancy.
Hi. Yeah, my birthday is 8/2/51.
Uh-huh. And
okay.
Your question?
And my question is, my daughter and I are planning on a trip to Washington this summer, and it's a special trip, and I was curious how you see that going.
Okay, how the trip is going. Can we have your daughter's birth date, too?
Yeah. Hers is 10/5/74.
Oh, wow. It's funny. 74, I wrote down 75. Your year is her month and first day. 5/1.
Right.
6/16/27/9. Is that what you're getting?
Oh,
here?
Yeah, 27/9.
And you're, Nancy, a 26/8. Did I add that up right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
16/8. So they become an 8
and
together.
The daughter is 41.
41 years old.
And you are 64.
Right.
41, 51, 61, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Well, you know, aside from what happened with our former caller, was there a recent, in the last 5 years, within the family structure crossover?
Her brother died within that time, I believe.
Wait, we lost what you said. It cut out. So repeat the whole thing again.
Okay. Her half brother died probably within that time.
Okay.
Her half brother died within that time. So, you know, this trip to Washington, Nancy, there's something getting in the way of the whole paragraph, and that's the half brother. Was that your son?
No.
So it was the stepfather's or the father's? The father's?
Right. The father.
Uh-huh.
Were you did you have any personal connection to this individual?
No, I didn't.
We're a bad connection. Nancy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we didn't hear you. So did you have a personal connection to the half-brother is the question.
No, I didn't.
Not at all. Okay.
Did your daughter
not
have
at
any...
All.
Not at all. Did your daughter have any strong connection?
Yes, she visited him several times. It's very close to him.
And has she been, do you think she still feels his death? Does she still carry it in her soul?
She might. Actually, there's been so many deaths lately. Friends of hers actually died, even closer.
She's cutting out.
A lot of deaths around your family.
And you
people?
Said a friend
yes.
died?
Around her family, around her friends.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, this what's happening, Nancy, I think the trip to Washington is going to be a very deep, heartfelt trip. But what's happening in the reading on the radio is that I'm getting bombarded by individuals who have crossed over. So the half-brother and then the friends, the people that are close mm-hmm. to your daughter,
There right. just seems to be a lot of spiritual energy around them. But as far as, you know, so I'm trying to get my head around that while I'm trying to also define what your trip to Washington's about, because I wasn't expecting to be bombarded with spiritual communication to this question, and yet I am. So there's something regarding your daughter, and I'm getting this beautiful necklace around your daughter, like she's wearing a necklace, and there's something very heartfelt about it. Now, if it's not symbolic, which it could be, does your daughter literally wear a necklace to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, there's... No. You've
I
got
gave her. Actually, I gave her one. I gave her one when she was visiting last time.
Ah.
That's great.
Well, you gave her a necklace. Now, this necklace is now becoming part of your trip to Washington because it's about the bond between the two of you. And I think okay. this trip is going to be something that you're going, you know, I'm getting a kind of a deep feeling about it. So as I get into a deep feeling about it, and there's this emotional aspect of the necklace, there's spirits coming in from the other side, it means to say that this trip is going to be a very meaningful trip. So there's going to probably be occurrences that happen above and beyond the general reason for the trip. I am getting a lot of water or waterfall energy around you. Is there anything around you that has to do with water, or is there anything impending in Washington that has to do with water?
Okay, where we're staying, the motel that we'll be staying at is right over the river. So I do know that. And one of the places.
One of the places?
Go on.
Yes.
One of the places what?
That we were staying at. One of the motels is right over the river.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, it's going to be that there's going to be some mystical, spiritual commotion, nothing bad.
Right.
But it sounds to me, Nancy, as I'm looking through this, that to me, I would categorize it more as exciting and enlightening and emotional. But to the extent that it gives you it brings warmth to your spirit. So I'm seeing something very good. But there's also something about loss and repair and rejuvenation. So I think those are important aspects regarding the journey. I'm also small children. Are there any, did your daughter have any children?
Yes, she has two.
Yeah. So I'm seeing the two small children beneath your daughter that adds probably to this ladder of blessing coming up.
Okay, Nancy. Well, hopefully that gives you a little clarity.
It does. It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Okay, take care. And 562-596-7818 for more conversation. She can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, and we do appreciate those of you who call our show regularly. We appreciate the support on our social media sites. That's the contribution that we ask if you call the show. Okay, so 951, Nathaniel, and then 305 is next. Hi.
Hey, hi.
Hi, what's up? 5157. He's 28101. Any news?
I've rented a car and applied for that job last week.
Oh, that's right. How did it go?
Okay. I guess.
No word.
No word yet. I was going to call him maybe today. But...
Yeah, maybe a good idea to
follow
up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, we're always promoting the best possible outcome for you, Nathaniel, and we'll put out a good zone if you call and make a connection. I'd rather try to promote something positive than look at anything else at the moment. Because there might be some friction around the job, but I'd rather try to change energy for you and see if we can get this job in for you. that, you know, maybe it will happen. I don't know if there's any other reason for your call, but as far as the job goes, we'll try to, get the best result for you. I'd love to see you get this job.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in your past, in your childhood, any train sets, anything with trains?
My friend Don had some more train sets, but I may have had a train set back when I was about 6 or 8. I wasn't too big into them.
No, you weren't too big into them. I just wanted to know if you had any. I wasn't concerned about whether you liked them or not. I don't know. You know, the train, the subway, the train system. I mean, just things are coming in. If you get this job, would you be, well, you might want to get a car, though. But there's something to do with trains going on. And I don't know if you might use a subway or a train system to get to the job if you didn't have a car. Is that what you would be doing?
Well, that could be it, at least to start. I don't know.
Didn't you say that there would be a possible move if you got this job?
Oh yeah.
You would have to move because it's far, right?
I'd have to move it to the Tustin Irvine area.
Okay.
Oh, in Irvine?
Yeah. They said a lot of their jobs are around that area, you know.
Oh, wow.
They had, but a lot of their stuff was seasonal. I didn't know if I got there too late in the day because the interviews were from 9 to 3, you know, and I got there about noon. And so, you know, if I would have gotten there at 9 or 9:30, I think I might have had a better chance. But I didn't get to rent a car until then, you know, and I had to, you know, drive across, you know, 120 miles.
Through the process of elimination, you know, people who may get the job, they may not want it. People kind of fold. Maybe by the time they get down to you, the numbers will still be strong, and we can put that energy out for you, Nathaniel. And I guess it's based a lot on prayer and energy work.
There's another job in town. I called back today at Foster Freeze. And, they're in town, and I could take the bus to that, and it would be really easy because I wouldn't even have to get a transfer on the bus.
Well, that's, yeah, the bus is still regarding the train kind of element in travel, so that might be a possibility, too. Nonetheless, Kristen will put out good energy that you get land one of these two jobs.
Yeah, and the other thing, Nathaniel, I think it came up a few shows ago, is the teaching music, because you play the guitar, right?
That's what it comes down to. I think it's going to either be teaching music or playing music or something, you know, because it really comes down to my passion and stuff, and you're really supposed to do something, you know.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the element of service, helping young people, I mean, and you can make money. You should check out if there are any music schools in your area.
The teacher teaches karate. She's a 7th-degree black belt, and she works at the college, and she's offered to actually, you know, have a guitar class or something, you know. So I don't know if I should go to community college here or, you know, just to start out. I may move, but I kind of want to do that as a lifetime thing, as, you know, just to start out teaching guitar, maybe to kids, because I think I'm having something to do with kids, maybe. I've been told for years. And it's general sales, you know, but music, guitar, and kids, and teaching, you know, things. And,
right. And I mean, if you find a music school in your area or wherever you move, sometimes they'll allow you to teach from your home, and you make, you know, they get a certain cut of your lessons, but, you know, you might not have the issue of transportation if they refer students to you, because that's a good way to build a studio. So, and it's better money than working at Foster's Freeze, that's for sure. I mean, you know, I don't know. Have you taught before?
Me. You know, it's something to sustain. I applied a while ago, and they said they did hiring, and I called them back actually quite frequently. I called them last night and talked to someone, and I called back today. And I think I called back maybe, I don't know, one other time in the last couple of days, but I talked to somebody on the bus, and then I called somebody and they weren't there. I don't know. I can't remember. But I definitely gave them my name last night and today. And the owner, the hire guy, does the hiring is, you know, has my name on his desk, you know, today. So,
okay, well.
Then I'm going to call the other one. Oh, and there's just so many jobs to apply for. It's amazing.
Well, see,
you know,
there's
there's
a lot of potential then. So there's a lot going on. But I suggest you do that. And I mean, if you don't have experience teaching, if you don't have real solid experience teaching,
but I've been teaching guitar for over 40 years.
Why aren't you doing it? I mean, it's going to be the most lucrative of all these options, for sure.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun too. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Nathaniel, good luck, and keep us posted. We've got another caller, but let us know. Okay.
Happy holidays to both of you.
Oh, thank you. It's Memorial Day. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, final caller, 305, hello.
Hello, Christine. Hi.
Hi.
I just plugged you in here and I saw you guys were on and I haven't talked to you in years. So I thought this would be the opportune
time. Who is this?
My name is Eileen. And
hello?
Hello? My name is Eileen.
Okay. Eileen, can we get your birth date? Please.
June 28th, 1951.
Okay, another 1951 caller. Interesting. We had another one of those. And you spoke with us, I guess, a long time ago, huh? 14?
Yeah, at least 4 years ago. Maybe five.
Oh. And you're calling from what area? Is this Florida?
Yeah, Florida. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your question, Eileen?
I've been doing a lot of soul reading on and connecting. I'm just going through a lot of transformation. And and I wanted to see through my numbers this transformation on a spiritual level. There's a lot of healing that's been going on physically for me and emotionally, a lot of clearing. Oh, my God. And my heart is getting, has always been open, but I'm ready to receive my partnership. So I wanted to see through the numbers, through whatever guys you get intuitively, this coming for me.
Well, what's happening, Eileen, is that your karmic number is 32.
So for the
first 32 years of your life, you went through karma.
Is that right?
Now what's happening?
28. I'm sorry, I misheard. So I have the wrong number.
So you had a karma at the age of 32. Okay. So that was in 1983. But what's happened now, I'm being 64, you completed a whole new journey of karma twice.
Oh.
Because 32 times 2 is 64.
Right.
So you're now renewing. Having gone through those two layers of karma, you are now in a position of transformation on just a whole other level, let alone the one that occurred at 83, which might have been beset with, you know, more difficult transition.
You know what's funny is that the year prior to 83, her last year in karma is her inverted day.
So you're going through a change, major. And now your master number is 5, so it's a great change of verbal communication. The transformation will affect your throat energy, but in a way that where the throat, the communication and the heart are joined together. So what it does is it brings up overwhelming feelings of communication. You could be writing something and burst into tears or emotions. You could be walking and just feeling and sensing something and have these emotional feelings that you can't quite grasp or define, but yet you're overwhelmed by them. So there's a great element of an emotional avalanche of energy that to me, it equates to the levels of existence that we have while we're on the planet, and we slowly graduate towards our higher self. And when you're looking to meet your higher self, so to speak, you're at a zone now where you're combining not only those elements, but you're bringing into it your third eye, which gets into the meditation and the spiritual transformation. So you're bringing your third eye into the combination of communication through heart. And that means you start to have mystical experiences where you start to connect on a higher level with nature and with guides and all kinds of things like that. So I think, and there's going to be something too, Eileen, with an expression of art. So your artistic tendencies can start to get tapped into. And then ultimately, I think there's going to be a relationship or a transition of relationship occurring very soon. So I don't know if that fills out any parts of your question.
Shall I speak with you now? Yes, I am a professional artist, and I'm painting right now, working on a new piece. I speak to many people at different times, and they come to get wisdom from me, you know, but it's just the way I am. I walk every day through the trees and talk to them also. The nature spirits are with me all the time as well. And I was divorced last July, yeah. So all of a sudden I started getting incidences with high blood pressure, and my health is perfect, but now I have to take these medicines, and I really don't want to take them, and they're very tiny pieces, or amounts, I should say. So, you know, and I feel my heart, I feel my chest is like fluttering all the time, and I don't know what this energy is that I'm feeling.
Well, it's the overwhelming. Yeah. Some of it is the, you know, there might be some medical definitions here and whatnot, but for me, it comes from a great emotional shifting of your spirit. And I think that's part of it. You know, keep yourself in alignment with good doctor reports. But on the side, it's an emotional awakening. It's a transition.
And is it going to continue for the next 32 years of my life? Or is it going to... or is it going to calm down when my mate comes in and... And
well,
balances
my
love, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like just coming out of my every pore is just like pouring out energy.
the balance of that is forthcoming. You've got there's going to be a balance zone that you have to kind of configure into the element of life, but that will come with it.
And Eileen, we are actually out of time, so perhaps on another show we can continue. But you know, these are short readings. Hopefully, that was brought a little clarity to your question.
It was.
We appreciate your call.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate you both. Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome.
Okay, we are out of time. 562-596-7818 is the number for further questions. We are on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.